welcome. I'm Barkha Dutt. You're watching our continuing special series, The Borderline, where we are continuing to focus on the Indo-Pak border, bringing you ground reports, literally mapping hundreds of kilometers along the international border in the Jammu sector. The images that you see on your screen are of multiple ceasefire violations that have taken place along the LOC and the international border, a clear increase in these violations ever since India's surgical strikes. These are dramatic pictures that are coming in now for the first time. You can see in them burnt houses and shops, civilian areas targeted by Pakistani mortar shells, 120mm shells that are being fired by the Pakistani Rangers into Indian border villages, cars and scooters that have been set on fire. These are images that bring home literally the truth of what it means to live at the India-Pakistan border in a phase of tension. And certainly ever since the surgical strikes, what Pakistan has attempted to do is to make the ceasefire, which has held since 2003, vulnerable. It has in fact made the international border and the line of control its theater of tension. We have been reporting through this week from the border, bringing you live broadcasts and ground reports, and we will have tonight a special report from a night we spent at a border village right on the line of control at the very last populated settlement. That story coming up in a moment from now. Meanwhile, far away from the border villages here in Delhi, the Prime Minister chaired a meeting of the Cabinet Committee on Security. It is now confirmed that the military has shared 90 minutes of video footage with the highest levels of government. The Prime Minister, of course, had seen this footage much earlier. Can we just stay on those graphics for a second? And let's just talk a little bit about the video footage. The footage first, according to army sources, it is now a political and diplomatic call to decide whether to release the footage. Now, what did the Prime Minister say to his ministers? One is, of course, at the CCS, you had the National Security Advisor Ajit Doval briefing the top levels of government. There is an assessment, 100 terrorists are waiting at launch pads, the same kind of launch pads that were at the receiving end of those surgical strikes. Now, what's a launch pad? It's basically a staging area, an entry point on the other side of the line of control where the Pakistani army and firing from the Pakistani army provides cover for these terrorists to infiltrate into Indian territory. NSA Ajit Doval making the assessment that there are 100 such terrorists waiting to infiltrate, and intelligence agencies are talking about how the Pakistan army is protecting these launch pads. Now, this is the important security dimension, and we've been talking about how the Pakistan infantry is shielding them. But can we actually now turn focus also to the politics of what's happened? A very, very strong message going from the Prime Minister. Let's get Rahul Srivastav now in. Rahul, two important things have happened today. One, the NSA briefing the Cabinet Committee on Security, talking about these infiltrating terrorists from similar launch pads that were at the receiving end of India's surgical strikes. But we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, the political message. No chest thumping, says the Prime Minister to ministers, as the Congress and other opposition parties accuse the government of trying to harvest political gains from these surgical strikes. And in turn, the government and the BJP hitting back at these opposition parties, saying they've insulted the army by again and again talking about placing proof in the public domain.
Barkha, usually any such development as the surgical strike in India does have a political potential. Political parties will today or tomorrow or sometime later milk it properly for their political advantage. But right now in the mood in the government is very somber, primarily because of the fact of what you read out, what we have been reporting since morning, is that the serious report about a launch pad, several launch pads, in fact nearly a dozen of them, 100-odd terrorists all ready to infiltrate into India. Remember, the passes will close once the snow sets in and the winter sets in. So they have to be sent over a period of a few weeks. And that is why the government is worried, because the twin purpose could be one, to keep challenging, keep the security forces under pressure, and the second, fomenting trouble in the Kashmir region. And that's why the government is worried. The government is worried that any terror strike will take away a lot of shine which the surgical strike might have given it politically. And that is why the government knows over the last 48 hours, the dissenting voices have risen. Dissenting voices, though not criticizing the government, but pressurizing it to provide proof and evidence as far as the surgical strikes are concerned. The government is still saying, no, we are not going to release it. The defense establishment is saying, no, we are not going to release it. ex-generals like General Roy Chaudhary on a program yesterday night was very explicit that this report, since it's a live situation, and also the Air Chief telling you that the situation is extremely live, operational details and such evidence cannot be made public. And that is where the Prime Minister knows that he has to cool the tempers. Temperature has to be brought down because there can be another terrorist strike. Pakistan can escalate violence and hostilities. And that is why Prime Minister told all his cabinet ministers and councillor ministers that there has to be no chest thumping. Because you do indulge in that, the opposition will try to take the sheen off. The opposition will try to create more politics and more pressure. That's a political compulsion which he was must have been considering. Also the fact that speaking out of turn gives different dimensions to one narrative. And that's where the Prime Minister wants that only authorized personnel people should be speaking in the media. In fact, yesterday when Mr. Ravi Shankar Prasad took on the Kejriwal government and other political leaders, there was a very clear directive from the party chief that only people like him who have been authorized will be speaking.
Rahul, now very briefly, just to talk about the footage, as it's come to be called. We have opposition parties being quite cautious in how they choose their words. So the Congress today saying, please use all information and evidence at your disposal to call Pakistan's bluff, not specifying whether they mean the 90-minute video footage of the surgical strikes, which we know has been with the government. My question is, and a very senior army officer told me, this is not the army's decision. This will be the decision which the government will make. It will be a political and diplomatic call. What is the thinking of the government on this? There are other ways, of course, to place proof to counter Pakistan's narrative. There are eyewitnesses from Pakistan-occupied Kashmir who have surfaced. There are Pakistani journalists who are talking about this. There are reports of a Pakistani police officer who has been intercepted on tape talking about terror, about deaths on the other side of the line of control.
Barkha, I think the government is going to exercise caution, because if you have noticed, right since the Uri attack, there were certain comments which the government didn't like because it mounted the pressure and it, I think, increased the kind of outrage there was in the country. And that is why, if you notice, the first day it was not the defense minister or the home minister who held a press conference and announced the surgical strike. It was the DGMO wearing the army greens announcing the surgical strikes. After that, if you notice, there has been not many comments from the government. There have been stray posters and hoardings in cities put up by excited cadres. But the fact is that even Prime Minister today asked them for a sense of caution. I think, sir, in my assessment, if you allow me time, the opposition is walking a very tightrope walk. This has hazard warning written on it. Because if the government doesn't release it and there is the public pressure does not go against the government, and eventually closer to the election, the government does release the footage, does indulge in a political campaign for three crucial states, Punjab, where a lot of people are either in the army or are ex-servicemen or are planning to join the army, and then Uttar Pradesh and Uttarakhand. And at that time, if the government indulges in politics over this evidence, the opposition will have little ground to stand on and say, why are you releasing the footage now? It is because they were asking for it. Why are you indulging in politics over it? The government can say you started it. I think it's a catch-22 situation. The opposition will have to be cautious.
All right, Rahul, and all of this politics and political bickering, as there have been 25 ceasefire violations in the last 5 days along the border in the line of control from where the Buck Stops Here team has just returned. And I can tell you that people at the villages and the forces at the villages who are dealing with this every day, the last thing they want is political bickering. Now, as we said, you are watching The Borderline. This is a series literally straight from the India-Pakistan border. Let's give you a sense of where all this team has traveled through this week. We have traveled literally hundreds of kilometers from Akhnoor to Khor to the next day, the Samba sector, and from the Samba sector to the Arispura sector, and finally from the Arispura sector to the village of Ghagrial, which is near Palawala, where ceasefire violations have taken place, in fact, overnight, and in fact, from where mass migration has taken place. Now, there was initially, right after the surgical strikes, It was a precautionary measure by the government to evacuate all civilians from border villages within 10 kilometers off the border or the line of control. But what we saw when we traveled under the cover of darkness to a village right on the line of control was that there are in pockets actually mass migrations taking place, not as a precaution, but because of an increase in Pakistani firing. And one thing that all the villagers testified to was that ever since the surgical strikes, Pakistan has turned aggressive at the border and the LOC. This is our special report, The Borderline, from a village on the LOC. It's when the day gives way to night that the tension all along the international border becomes really palpable. Tonight, it is a moonless night and the sky is wrapped in a blanket of black. A sprinkling of lamps from a bridge over the Chenab River is the only source of light for miles. That and our car headlights as we drive towards villages on the border and the line of control. For the last 6 days, ever since India announced surgical strikes across the line of control, the stillness of the night in the border areas of Jammu has been broken by the loud bursts of fire. Not just small arms fire, but actual 120mm mortar shells, as these images released by the army show. As news filters in of fresh ceasefire violations at multiple points along the border, we make our way to a village called Ghagrial, situated along the line of control. When we arrive at Ghagrial, we find it almost completely deserted and emptied of its population. The lights have been left on at the small village Mandir and a handful of houses. But other than that, the entire locality is plunged in complete darkness. We learn that just this evening, 1,000 people have left from here for a migrant shelter a few kilometers away, after firing from Pakistan that lasted 6 continuous hours. It's a familiar memory in these villages which still bear the marks of shelling from the past. We are now in the village of Ghagrial, right on the line of control. 1,000 people from here left for a makeshift migrant camp, a shelter where they could spend a safe night. In fact, at this point, this is virtually a ghost village of kinds. There are only a handful of families that have chosen to stay behind, and dogs in the distance that you can hear barking. This because of heavy, heavy firing from the Pakistani side that villagers say lasted from 2 p.m. to 8 o'clock at night. And you can see here, from the past and the present, these kind of pockmarked shutters here where shells have gone through, shells that came from the Pakistani side. Many villagers that we've been talking to say that the firing is now reminiscent of the very, very intense firing that they used to see in the years before the ceasefire. Visitors are unusual in this environment, and only a few men have stayed back to keep guard over cattle, their property and their fields. They flash their watch lights at us from a safe distance to ensure that we are neither intruders nor infiltrators. The men are spending the night out in the open, sleepless for the most part, to keep a watchful eye. One of them, Ajit Kumar, we discover, is scheduled to get married in 4 days. But a wedding on time does not seem quite likely in the shadow of ceasefire violations and gunfire.
Ajit ji, abhi gaon mein pura sanata hai. Hazar log to yahan se paas mein khor mein chale gaye jahan migrant shelter banaya hua hai. To aap nahi gaye. To aapne kaise faisla liya ki ghar mein hi rahenge?
फैसला है, एक तो घर में इतना सामान है तो सब कुछ है, तो इतनी जल्दी सब कुछ छोड़ छाड़ के जाना तो आसान नहीं है। ऊपर से 4 दिन बाद मेरी शादी है, तो सोच रहा हूँ कि हालात ठीक हो जाएं, जहाँ जितने बिगड़े हुए हैं इससे ज्यादा ना बिगड़े तो शायद शादी जो है ठीक ठाक हो जाए।
4 दिन में शादी है?
4 दिन में शादी है।
यही गाँव में होनी?
यही गाँव में होनी है।
तो थोड़ा लग रहा होगा कि इसी तरह हालात चले तो शादी की मतलब जो एक सेलिब्रेशन का मोमेंट है वो
जी अभी जैसा हो गया है कि पूरे का पूरा गांव खाली हो गया है, जिसमें मेरा परिवार भी अभी घर पे है नहीं, मैं भी किसी तरह रुका हुआ हूँ। ऐसे हालात लग नहीं रहा है कि ये शादी हो पाएगी।
अच्छा, आपको लग रहा है कि शादी पोस्टपोन करनी पड़ेगी?
जी, हालात ही ऐसे हैं, क्या करना है, क्योंकि जब घर में गांव वाले नहीं हैं, घर में परिवार वाले नहीं हैं, तो उनके बिना तो शादी हो नहीं सकती। और जो भी बाहर से आएगा, घर में आएगा, इसमें पार्टिसिपेट करने के लिए हमारे रिश्तेदार वगैरह यार दोस्त आएंगे, तो उनको भी एक डर लगा रहेगा कि पता नहीं गांव के हालात कब खराब हो जाएं।
तो अब आप ये सोच रहे कि हालात ऐसे हैं कि देखना पड़ेगा कि चार दिन में शादी भी हो सकती है या नहीं, ये हालत हो गई।
जी,
तो काफी बुरा लग रहा होगा। कम से कम आप ये तो सोच रहे होंगे कि हालात ठीक हो जाए, मेरी शादी हो जाए।
जी, तो हम सोच रहे थे, पूरा परिवार साथ रहता था, तो घर में फंक्शन था, शादी थी, तो ठीक ठाक सब हो जाता, अच्छा ही था। लेकिन अब सारा गांव बिखर गया, परिवार बिखर गया, जो फंक्शन था हमारा, शादी थी, वो बिगड़ गई, तो बुरा तो लग ही रहा है। जी,
अजीत कुमार टेल्स अस नो वन इन द रेस्ट ऑफ इंडिया कैन अंडरस्टैंड द पेन ऑफ द फ्राइटनिंग अनसर्टेनिटी ऑफ डेली लाइफ एट द बॉर्डर।
घर छोड़ने का दुख क्या होता है, ये तो वही जानता है जो घर छोड़ के जाता है। तो हमें, हमारे परिवार को काफी बुरा लगा, आंसू आते हैं सोच के कि मिनटों में सारा परिवार बिखर सा जाता है।
Inside, he shows us how a family that was all busy preparing for a celebration had to suddenly leave everything in disarray. New jackets, shirts, socks, utensils, crockery, and even his bride's wedding finery.
एकदम से जाना पड़ा सब कुछ छोड़ छाड़ के, तो किसी को समय नहीं मिला कि ये सब व्यस्त अपनी जगह पे रख सकें, सब ऐसे ही पड़ा है, सब चलेंगे।
We leave Gagrihal for the makeshift migrants' shelter run by volunteers in the local administration some kilometers away. Little children and women here must be the first priority. But tonight, all of them will be sleeping under this giant open shed. Some just grab a corner under a tree. Others will not be sleeping at all tonight. In the last few hours alone, 1,000 people have left border villages like Palawala and adjoining areas and come to this makeshift migrant camp. Some are asleep, but for many, like these women, it is a sleepless night. Being here brings home the danger and the daily uncertainty of life at the border villages. It also reinforces how it is the ceasefire along the line of control and the international border that remains vulnerable after India's surgical strikes. The villagers tell us that moving out of the border and living elsewhere is no option for poor families like theirs, entirely dependent on their fields for a livelihood.
अब क्या, अब यहाँ तो आज रात तो यही रहेंगे, अब कल क्या करेंगे?
कल अभी गांव में कुछ परिवार के सदस्य उधर ही हैं, क्योंकि अगर हम गांव में पूरे आ जाते हैं तो पीछे हमारा अभी घर में सामान भी पड़ा है। जाना तो बहुत जरूरी है, क्योंकि हमारी फसल जो है अभी पक के तैयार होने वाली है, और तो फसल काटनी है, ये पूरे साल की कमाई है। तो अगर हम ऐसे ही छोड़ देंगे, काटनी तो है, नहीं तो भूखे मर जाएंगे, पूरे साल की कमाई है। जब लगानी थी तब तो कुछ नहीं किया, लेकिन अब पकने की बारी है, अब फल लाने लेने की बारी आई, तो अब फायर हो गए हैं। तो उसके बाद पशु हैं हमारे, इतने महंगे महंगे 25-25, 30-30 हज़ार की हमारी भैंस है, और तो 15-15, 20-20 हज़ार की हमारी गाय है, वो उधर उधर हैं, और तो उनको लेके कहाँ जाएं।
पर उम्मीद तो आपको ये होगी कि ये फायरिंग कम हो जाए, लेकिन आप बताइए कि अब इंडिया ने सर्जिकल स्ट्राइक किए, उसके बाद इस तरह का यहाँ तनाव, पाकिस्तान की तरफ से फायरिंग दोबारा शुरू हो गई है, तो ये आपको क्या लगता है, ये हालात सुधरेंगे नहीं सुधरेंगे?
अभी पहले सर्जिकल स्ट्राइक होने से पहले थोड़े ठीक थे हालात, लेकिन फायर होता रहता था, छोटा फायर,
कभी कभी छोटा
कभी कभी छोटा मोटा फायर होता रहता था। लेकिन जब से सर्जिकल स्ट्राइक्स हुए हैं, उससे उनको भी गुस्सा आ गया और फायर जो है बढ़ गया है। और उससे क्या हो गया है कि हम तो चाहते हैं कि ये जो फायर है, इसका सिलसिला हमेशा के लिए खत्म हो जाए। जहाँ तो ये पूरी तरह अटैक करें, पूरी तरह खत्म कर दे, तो जहाँ तो फिर जो है जो पूरी तरह खत्म ही हो जाए।
दिस मैस माइग्रेशन फ्रॉम द विलेज ऑफ गगरियाल टुनाइट इज नो लॉन्गर जस्ट प्रिकॉशनरी। दीज पीपल से दे आर वरीड अबाउट मेनी मोर नाइट स्पेंट एट शेल्टर्स लाइक दिस वन। When the sun rises the next day, you can clearly see what those who live at the border go through when a ceasefire violation occurs.
These images from a village an hour away from where we were show shops and houses razed to the ground, burnt cars and vehicles, and a mound of mortar shells, bringing home the harsh truth of what a ceasefire violation really means for the people who live in its shadow every day, living literally on the edge of danger. At the Indo-Pak border with Ruby Dhingra, Manoj Thakur, Manu Nair and Zafar Iqbal, Barkha Dutt for NDTV. So those are our special series, The Borderline, right from the line of control. We spent a night at a village that is situated along the LOC. Now, these pictures you're seeing on your screen point to 25 ceasefire violations that have taken place just in the last 5 days. All of this as there is a deeply, deeply problematic political battle that has broken out with the Congress and the Aam Aadmi Party actually pushing the government to place evidence in public domain that they say will call Pakistan's bluff. They've also targeted the defense minister, whom the Congress has called immature. The BJP, for its part, has called the opposition irresponsible and anti the military. One BJP spokesperson said the opposition was being disgraceful. But let's turn our focus before we introduce our guest today to the Prime Minister, who actually told his entire cabinet that the surgical strikes were no context for chest thumping. This is an important political message at a time when political squabbling does indeed hurt the morale and, in fact, insult our soldiers. Let's bring in our guest tonight. Sambit Patra of the BJP is with us. Randeep Surjewala of the Congress is with us. General Jaswal, who's been former Northern Army commander, is with us. And General Vinod Bhatia, who's been former Director General of Military Operations in very, very critical years between 2012 and 2014. Remember, the Congress claims that in this period, under the UPA, two surgical strikes did take place of the three that took place while the UPA was in power. Let me get quick comments from the politicians and then we'll go to the general so the politicians don't hijack the debate. Randeep, the Congress is being careful in its choice of words, but yet for 2 days in a row, you have continued to call the defense minister of the country immature. His comments is immature. I only ask you at a time when the air chief himself has declared that the situation in terms of India's response to Uri is still live, that response is not complete. And as you know, I've spent the last 3 days right at the border, and you could see in that report what the concerns of people are, how Pakistan is behaving. Is this the time, whatever your political differences in your opinion of Manohar Parrikar might be, to call the defense minister, who's literally in, you know, overseeing the forces because of his political role, immature?
Well, Barkha, let me say three indeniable facts. Firstly, right on the day when surgical strike took place, both Congress President and Congress Vice President came forward and the party came forward and said, and I stand by it even today, that Congress Party stands with our armed forces as also the government in surgical strike against terrorists in Pakistan as also in demolishing the terror infrastructure. The second indeniable fact. There is no question of challenging the statement of Director General Military Operations, who has rightfully come forward and said what needed to be said about surgical strike. And the third indelible fact, the Defense Minister, Mr. Manohar Parrikar, in a function in Goa, the manner and fashion in which he passed casual remarks, taking credit and politicizing the bravery and sacrifice of our soldiers, followed by what Mr. Venkaiya Naidu said, followed by what Mr. Ravi Shankar Prasad said, followed by posters put across the country by BJP people, is a poor attempt to politicize the bravery and sacrifice of our soldiers. So all that we pointed out, we have complete faith in our army to do the correct thing. They have faith of the government and they have faith of the opposition as also people of this country. For heaven's sake, this is a challenging, evolving and a serious situation.
Okay.
Do not start politicizing the situation for myopic political gain currently. And that is something that anybody across the political spectrum will say.
Let me bring in Sambit Patra. Sambit Patra, in particular, it is the defense minister who has been targeted by the opposition. He's been targeted for comments that have been attributed to him made on the 1st of October, where he described Pakistan to be in a state of coma, Pakistan like a patient under anesthesia after surgery. He's also been targeted for Goa units planning a felicitation ceremony for him, as appeared in the media. And he's also been quoted as having said that he and the government made the armed forces realize their power. You have Congress leaders like Digvijay Singh, Randeep Surjewala saying that this is insulting our forces. How do you see this targeting of the defense minister?
First and foremost, if there was a felicitation program in honor of the defense minister, I don't find any reason as to why the armed forces or jawans of this country would in fact be insulted by that program. I don't see as to why the jawans of this country would be insulted if there were posters put up in their honor. But I can surely see that the jawans, the army of this country, would be insulted if a very senior Congress leader like Mr. Sanjay Nirupam, who heads a unit, that is a Mumbai unit of the Congress, goes ahead to say that this was a Farji attack, that this was a fake surgical attack, and the army had nothing to contribute. He also goes ahead to say that the DGMO was holding a press conference under the duress of the political quarters. This, I believe, is for the first time that the army has been attacked by the political dispensation of the India. Never before it was attacked like this. Secondly, Mr. Digvijay Singh tweets to say that after the surgical strike, India has been cornered and isolated internationally. So Modi ji, oblique Dobal ji, immediately released the evidences. And I believe Mr. Sanjay Nirupam or Mr. Chidambaram, these are not non-state players of Congress. Yeah. They are very much the main state player of the Congress. So when these leaders like Digvijay Singh, Mr. Chidambaram, I have not quoted Mr. Chidambaram as yet. Mr. Chidambaram said, well, we may congratulate the government, we may stand with the government, but now the government in fact has to own up the consequences what follows the surgical strike, meaning as if things are going to go wrong after the surgical strike and it is the government which is to be blamed after the surgical strike. So very obliquely, and some very directly, that is Sanjay Nirupam, have blamed the government. And this is, I mean, I think the Congress has been a habitual offender. We have seen the Congress
I need to go to the generals. So Randeep, I'll allow you a brief interjection. Praveen Swamy is also with us. I need to go to General Bhatia immediately. So Randeep, briefly.
I'll just take 10 seconds, Barkha. See, this is the rhetoric, political rhetoric, and the manner in which we are seeking to divide a befitting reply given by Indian Army to the enemy and to demolish the terror infrastructure. Congress Party said yesterday, I myself did that press conference, and we repeated it again. We stand with the armed forces and the government. Anybody saying something to the contrary does not toe the party line, and we have taken serious note and issued advisories. However, we did not come forward and say when Mr. Amit Shah congratulated Pakistan for sending a joint investigation team headed by ISI and said he was satisfied, did it make him anti-national? No. He said this in his own wisdom after the Pathankot terror attack. We objected to it. BJP said no.
Okay.
It is fine for Mr. Amit Shah, the BJP president.
Barkha, I need just 10 seconds to ask a question to the media convener of Congress.
Sacrifice allow me this. Of our soldiers. Okay. And a surgical action taken by our army, which is neither the first nor the last.
Okay, Sambit, quickly, please.
Mr. Surjewala, I have a pointed question to you. Mr. Surjewala, I respect you, but you are the media convener of the Congress as well. The question is, yesterday Mr. Sanjay Nirupam tweeted that this surgical strike was fake. The tweet was in the morning. He followed the tweet with debates on the television channel throughout the day, which culminated by the evening into a press conference. Did Sonia ji or did Rahul ji contact Sanjay Nirupam in the meantime, not allowing him to hold the press conference, saying that he dare not hold a press conference to the same effect? Because I know, as per your claim, Congress is a disciplined party and no Congress chief can hold a press conference without the go-ahead of the media team, without the go-ahead of Sonia ji. So why this double speak? Sonia ji releases a statement saying that we are with the government, and she allows, and you allow, Sanjay Nirupam to hold a press conference.
Okay, I have to move on, Randeep, and you can come back on the Sanjay Nirupam point in a moment from now. General Bhatia, may I please bring you in, and then we'll go to General Jaiswal and Praveen. General Bhatia, you were DGMO in a really critical time that is now being referred to publicly by the Congress to suggest that in this time, there were at least two of the three surgical strikes that they say took place under them. They say that they would not have gone public with it, and they question the government's decision to go public with these. As the key man in that role in those years, how do you see what the Congress has said about those strikes?
Firstly, let me tell you, I'm a soldier and I belong to the Indian Army, which is totally apolitical, dedicated, committed, professional. So now let's put the surgical strikes in the correct contextual framework. Yes. These surgical strikes are in a different domain. They're a defining moment where all elements of national power, that is at the diplomatic, informational, military, economic, political, cultural, have been synergized. And for the first time, India has given a befitting response to terrorist operations in the counter-terrorist domain. So having said that now, the earlier strikes, it's not even strikes, these are operations, possibly cross-border operations done at the local level, without much planning, without much thought, and it was on the, when we operated the line of control, the units have four tasks. Mm. One is the task of ensuring the sanctity of the line of control.
Yes.
Two is the task of ensuring the defense of our territorial integrity of our nation. Mm. Three is the task of counter-infiltration. And the fourth is the task of ensuring moral ascendancy over the Pakistani army, which continues to violate the ceasefire in spite of an agreed upon ceasefire.
Yes.
Now, it is in the fourth context that these cross-border intrusions and some operations have taken place, and not what has taken place now. These are surgical strikes, properly planned. They're very delicate operations, very deliberate operations, and they've been orchestrated extremely well. And I'm a very proud soldier today. I'm a very proud Indian today that we have done, we've given a response and shown our strategic restraint. However, we also told them that our strategic patience run out and a strategic response haven't given the tactical domain. So you look at the complete framework. Pakistan has not known what to do. We have created a decision dilemma for him.
Yes. May I just clarify? You are saying that though you were the DGMO in those critical years that the Congress is citing, and Randeep, therefore you need to listen to this carefully. What took place then was, I know what army sometimes call as badla actions. They were more localized, and they cannot be compared to the surgical strikes that have taken place today. And you say this as the key army officer in the DGMO's post is at that time that the Congress is quoting. You're saying the two can't be compared.
No. The two can't be compared. Absolutely right. And I'm not trying to get into the politics of it. I will not get into the politics of it. But let me tell you, those are different times, different operations, planned and executed at a different level altogether. And this one is a totally different operation. There's a strategic level. This has given us the returns we wanted. And it has got repercussions also, ramifications also, which are totally different. And that is why this political halagula about it. I don't think it is right. I don't think anyone should question the Indian Army. I don't think anyone should question the DGM of the Indian Army or the Chief of the Indian Army, having said whatever they have said. I think it is totally irresponsible. I feel hurt. And I think all soldiers feel hurt today.
General Jaiswal, this politics is indeed extremely unfortunate. Because even Pakistan's political parties, where Imran Khan is virtually trying to take Nawaz Sharif down, have managed to issue a unanimous statement. The Congress says, we are not questioning the military, we are questioning the defense minister. Digvijay Singh now is going on record to say the defense minister must apologize. He's quoting media reports that quote Mr. Parikar is saying, we made our armed forces realize their power. The Congress is accusing the BJP of milking the surgical strikes politically because of certain posters that have come up in UP, and Sambit can respond to those later. General Jaiswal, how do you see this?
Firstly, I'd like to compliment Vinod Bhatia. He's summed up the entire canvas beautifully well. Now, as far as politicizing the surgical strike is concerned, let me tell you, after very long, we have gone in for a coordinated surgical strike. Like Vinod also said, it is a tactical action with a strategic effect. And if we make much of it, I don't see any politics in it. I too have total olive green in my blood. And I feel extremely bad when people start changing statements First of all, what is right is right. I do appreciate the very first day when the Congress, Rajiv Gandhi and Sonia, they all spoke in one line that they support the army and the government in this endeavor.
Yeah.
But then suddenly props up a person who is also a responsible person of the opposition. I'm also totally apolitical, incidentally. He props up and he speaks the mind, maybe, of the political party or not. But Surjewala, he says, no, he condemns that.
Right.
He's not questioning the army.
Right.
No, this is all confusion.
Yes.
But if you read the confusion through the prism, you will come to know that there is an intent of targeting the government, whether to say that, well, you're politicizing it. If they had not made much of this raid because it got a strategic effect, they would say, well, we did not optimize the effect of this strategic victory.
Right.
Now that they have done it, they must criticize them again.
Yeah.
I think let's be clear on one thing.
Yes.
Victory is a victory. We have had a victory. All of us should join in celebrating that victory. Politicizing it, well, I think we must blow it up out of proportion. Yes, we have done it. We are proud and we will do it again. That is the philosophy. It's not, well, you have done it and now we will question you for having done it, the manner in which you have done it. I think, you see, there are other, I'm not talking about a particular party. There are others who are questioning. Army, my God, for heaven's sake. We are the last bastion of integrity and I vouch my entire service for that. We are truthful and let me tell you, when the DJMO stands there on behalf of the chief and he makes a statement, it is correct to the last comma and the last full stop.
Okay.
There is a principle of need to know basis.
Yes.
And only those people will be told, what? Those people will be told who need to be told.
Okay, now some important points.
Public.
Yes,
America
sir.
Never made Osama
yes,
bin Laden.
In fact, we had the former chief general.
Osama bin Laden raid public.
Sir.
Please understand.
Sir, we had General Shankar Roy Chaudhary on this program last night saying that the footage must not be released. Must not. And we'll play out that excerpt in a moment from now. But Praveen, let me bring you in before we return to the politics of this. We know now that there is footage. The footage is with the government. One very senior army officer told me it's a diplomatic and political call on whether to release this in the public domain or not. We have the DGMO from a very critical time, General Bhatia, saying those raids cannot be compared to these surgical strikes. You've actually written about POK witnesses coming forward to, in fact, confirm the surgical strikes and more details than, in fact, have been released officially thus far.
I'm a little saddened to hear the general say, with all respect, that in this country we don't get to ask questions because the army is the last bastion of integrity. See, there's this country where you don't get to ask questions and it's called Pakistan. In this country we have a constitution and we have a principle of civil control over the military. And if you don't like that constitution, you get to change it. But until then, all of us have to live by it. I find those remarks as a patriotic Indian very insulting. They're insulting to our constitution and to our founding fathers who paid a great price to have that constitution. I would consider some of the ramifications of what was just said. We don't have to agree with those questions. We don't have to like the people who ask them. But I don't think we as Indians get to hurl abuse at people who ask questions. That is their right, as much as it is the right of others, of governments, not to answer those questions.
Right.
Having said that, the important question here is whether national security will be compromised by the release of those videotapes.
Yes.
Now, I don't think anyone in this discussion has actually seen those videotapes.
Yes.
So we're speaking a bit in the air over here.
Yeah.
But I will say that at every press conference of any self-respecting power overseas, we've all watched NATO press conferences, we've watched Russian press conferences over the ongoing conflict in Syria. Videotape of combat operations is routinely released. It's released for a reason. It's released to establish the credibility of those operations and to undermine enemy propaganda that those operations were either ineffective or that civilians were killed in those operations.
Yeah.
That videotape is carefully vetted. It's released with a point. This isn't a new development. When the Chinese and the Soviets clashed across the Usuri River, the Russian foreign minister called an international press conference to confront the world community with video and photographic evidence of what the Chinese had done to legitimize Soviet action across the Ussuri River against Chinese troops.
Yeah.
When nation states say something, it is imperative that those statements be credible and verifiable. Now, I'm certainly not defending what I can only describe as kindergarten behavior by our politicians, that miss, you know, he pulled my hair, no, he took my eraser first, and no, miss, he kicked me in the shin first. This is trivial and boring. But the kind of sort of language that has been used, about Hanuman's waking up and whatever, speaks of the seriousness with which our politicians approach issues which are extremely serious. They pertain to relations between two nuclear-armed states. Serious questions need to be asked and serious answers need to be given. And the government needs to be doing that.
Okay, let me take this to Sambit and Randeep, and we'll come back to the generals now on what Praveen has said, that, you know, there should also be space to question the military. General Jaiswal, that was to you, and I'll come to you in a moment. But Sambit, since Praveen Swamy...
I'll answer that.
Sambit, because Praveen quoted actually Mr. Parikar's comment that has been attributed to him in media reports. And I'm just reading this out from media reports. I haven't actually heard him myself, so I'm reading this out, that Indian troops were like Hanuman, who did not quite know their prowess before the surgical strikes, is what he's been quoted as saying, with Digvijay Singh saying now that Mr. Parikar must apologize for these comments. Sambit.
First, I would not comment on a statement which even the anchor of the show has not heard of.
We'll actually pull out that, the
media,
details of that statement. Yeah, but go ahead.
Once you pull out, I would surely react to that. But I would come to the other issues that have been discussed over here. Number one, when Praveen says that these are kindergartenly behavior, with all due respect in a democratic country, I say, this is not an issue of someone pulling others' hair or someone taking away the eraser or the tiffin box of another schoolboy. This is a question of questioning the DGMO. This is a question of raising doubts over DGMO. Well, in a democratic country, you can question. Well, in a democratic country, you can debate. But the issue is, there is a proper time, proper place, and proper way of debating and questioning in democracy as well. Not when the enemy state is standing over your head and you start questioning your prime minister, your defense minister, and your DGMO. Please, if you really want something serious to come out of it, the leaders who were questioning and saying that these surgical strikes were fake, if they were so democratic, they could have easily sought an appointment of the Prime Minister, of the Defence Minister. None would have stopped Mr. Arvind Kejriwal or Mr. Sanjay Nirupam or any other tall leader to meet them. They could have easily said, this is my heart. This is what I believe. This is how India should move ahead. There would have been no problem.
Sambit, what about the posters? What about the posters that have surfaced? Sambit, what about the posters that have surfaced?
You asked me the question. I'll come to the posters as well, Barkha. But one doesn't have to be the hero in the Pakistan just because India is a democratic country. The two gentlemen, the army gentlemen who are sitting over here, for God's sake, you, Praveen Swamy and Surjewala only debate. Let me tell you, you are the anchor, we are only panelists. But these gentlemen have fought wars for us. And when their words are repeated over here, they do not demean the constitution of the country. Let me salute them right here on your program. And as far as the posters are concerned, let me answer this. Well, if there were certain posters hailing the Indian army, hailing the Indian defense minister, hailing the Indian prime minister, I would request the Congress also, please come up with the same kind of posters. Come up with same kind of hoardings where you hail the Indian army, salute the Indian army, rather than going and sitting in the lap of the Pakistan and hailing Pakistan and providing hand and
oxygen to Pakistan. Who are you saying is sitting in Pakistan's lap? Who is sitting in Pakistan's lap?
No, the ones who are occupying the headlines in Pakistan's newspaper are the ones who are sitting in Pakistan's lap. It's as clear as that.
Randeep, go ahead. Randeep, go ahead.
Barkha, this is exactly the problem with Bharatiya Janata Party. If Congress and Congress allies win in Bihar, then crackers would be burst in Pakistan. Anybody who's anti-BJP is pro-Pakistan. That is the premise that Bharatiya Janata Party unfortunately has moved on. But I am not going to insult the sacrifice of our army by even caring to answer what my learned friend has raised from BJP, because I reject it completely. But let me bring you back to what Defence Minister said. If Defence Minister says that after 67 years of independence, after having won the 65 and 71 war over Pakistan, after having won the Kargil war with Pakistan, it is now that current defense minister and prime minister are teaching the strength of its power to the army is the grossest and the most insulting thing
that
you can say to the Indian army. That means Indian army knew nothing before Mr. Parrikar became defense minister and Mr. Modi became prime minister of the country, for heaven's sake. Do not milk, do not politicize, do not divide Indian army on political lines. Indian army belongs to one and all. We commend you for surgical strike. We commend you with folded hands. We commend the Indian army with folded hands. But you cannot use Indian army for capturing votes, because Indian army is not vote bank. The okay. two gentlemen who are sitting here are not vote bank.
I need to go to them. Let me go to them.
When you punish
none less
Sanjay
than General Bikram Singh, the former army chief, let on this television channel has said there has been a number of surgical strike. General V.P. Malik, who was army chief during Vajpayee's time, has himself said he's conducted.
You are contesting the former DGMO right over here on the channel.
Divide the army on political lines.
Okay, hang on. Sambit, you can come in on
that. No. You are contesting the present DGMO. You are contesting the DGMO, former DGMO, who right now has stated everything.
Now, 1 minute.
If you are illiterate and you cannot read even written statements of the Congress
party,
which are specific, I can do nothing about it, my friend.
Right now, we heard the former DGMO giving a complete reply whether for such strikes took place in the yesteryears or not. My simple question is, if you wanted to keep the former surgical strikes under wrap, why suddenly gloat about it? That means you want political benefit out of it. If there was reason enough then, that all those surgical strikes of yesteryears should be extremely confidential. How can you declare them now?
I need to get the politicians to pause for a moment. General Jaiswal, go ahead. To Praveen's point, I know you've been wanting to come in. Please go ahead. We are taking last comments now. General Jaiswal.
Yeah, firstly, what Mr. Sahni said, I have a lot of regards for his personal analysis, but I think in this case, with the apologies, gone slightly astray. First of all, when I got my commission, I took a pledge. I retired 6 years back, and that pledge still remains with me. For my constitution, I'll die for my constitution. We are not questioning the constitution. The army is not different. The constitution is supreme. We are subservient to the constitution. And under that, the government that be gives us a task. How we do it, it is our problem. The government doesn't tell us, because they do not have the knowledge, obviously, because they're not experts in the field. How we do it, it is our problem. We okay. did the job. That's all, and we gave the report that this is what has been done.
Okay.
And intellectual dissent is a very good thing. We must question, but don't question the modus vivendi. What we did, the need to know principle, Mr. Sahni, you are no one to be told as to what we did. The country is not to be told. They're just to be told, this is what we did, and we inflicted damage on the terrorist camp.
Okay, Praveen, why don't you take that, and then General Bhatia can get the last word.
None of their business.
Okay, Praveen, quickly, and then General Bhatia gets the last word. Praveen, go ahead. Praveen, go ahead.
As I said, every country, the reason to go public with an operation in the first place is presumably because you want to make a point and to be believed. If the only reason to go public was for was for Pakistan to know about it, there's no reason to make statements. The Pakistan army knows better than anyone other than the Indian army exactly what happened on the line of control on Thursday. We went public because we wanted to make a declarative point to the rest of the world about our seriousness of intent. That seriousness of intent is being questioned in every world capital and every major world newspaper, precisely because there is an absence of information. That absence of information is not going to be settled by what I report, much as I would like it to be, or by what anyone else reports. It is going to be settled by serious statements made by the government of India that have credible, verifiable information. That's what governments do. When governments make statements, they need to be credible and verifiable. Otherwise, they ought not to talk about things in the first place.
General Bhatia, last word to you. There are people like Praveen who believe that you need much more information. There are people like General Shankar Roy Chaudhary who say absolutely not. The army on its part has actually said it's a political, they've not said this officially, but certainly they said to me that it's a political and diplomatic call. General Bhatia, your last word are we getting distracted by the political battle now instead of the real battle which is happening at the border, and you know, where the air chief says this is still a live operation in some ways?
You know, we are a democracy, anyone can say anything, but there is an Official Secrets Act. We have to understand what bringing the complete operation into the public domain will imply. You know, the special operations are very delicate operations. There is three parts to it: insertion, execution, extraction. It is an extraction bid. When the special forces go in, they actually go in with a one-way ticket. They know that, you know, they might not come back. And if you're going to publicize the way they've done it, the way they've carried it out, the weapons they're carrying, their tactics, the way they moved, the way they executed, I think we're doing a disservice to the Indian Army and to our combat power. We will degrade the ability of our special operation forces. So it is a call. Whether you know, every other country, no other country does it. You can show in war, you can show anything you want, but no country ever shows the special operations carried out by special operation forces. So that is the bottom line. Now we have to understand that these are very, very delicate operations, and I salute all the soldiers who have done it, all the leaders who have done it, and all the commanders who have planned it and executed it. It is very, very difficult. Secondly, let me just finish off by saying, you know, we should be proud of the fact that they have carried out so very well. And having, you know, in the army we say, having won the battle, let's win the war. In this case, I think having won the war, we are losing the battle.
Well, that's a thought to leave us with tonight, and for our politicians in particular who seem to be squabbling amongst themselves. We will see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Thank you for watching. Thanking our panel tonight. See you tomorrow night from the Buck Stops Here team. Goodbye for now.